Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Amen. Turn with me to Luke 22, and we're going to read verses 39 through 42, and let's all stand as we open up the Word of God and allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for just your awesome grace and your mercy. We thank you for the worship. But Lord, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this morning's message, The 14 Stages of the Cross, Part 2. Part 2. So last week, by the grace of God, we covered the first 7 stages. And today we're going to complete and conclude 8 through 14 stages. So are we there at Luke 22? Let's all read together. Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." Verse 41, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away," what? "From me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." May the Lord have a blessing to the hearer and reader of his word. You may be seated. So just as recall and recap, let's look at this here, saints. The 14 stages of the cross, part one, last week we covered the first station of the cross, Jesus on the Mount of Olives. So that's where it starts, on the Mount of Olives. And when we finally get to that trip this year, we're going to experience. Why do they call it the Mount of Olives? Because you see groves and groves of olive trees. And they're all there, and you're going to see Mount Olympus. You're going to see all these places that are in the Word of God. And one of the things you're going to see is the Kidron Valley. The Kidron Valley is very significant because from an aerial shot, you can see the hand of God on the city. And we're going to be there. But that's where it started. Second station of the cross, Jesus is betrayed by Judas and arrested. And then the third station of the cross, Jesus is condemned by the Sanhedrin. We covered that last week. Fourth station of the cross, Peter denies Jesus. Fifth station of the cross, Jesus is judged by Pontius Pilate. And the sixth station of the cross, Jesus is scourged and crowned with thorns. And then the seventh station, when we concluded last week, Jesus takes up his cross. And so once again, as a recap, everything starts from the Mount of Olives as we journey down the Via Dolorosa road. It was a dark, dreary road for our Lord Jesus Christ. And he had to go through. He had to suffer for you and I. And so, here's one photo again. Let me just tell you, it's about a 3-mile trek, okay? And so this is just one little corridor as you keep following it to the very end. But the one thing that they got it wrong, I believe, at the very end, the 14th station, it doesn't end at the Church of the Sepulcher. It ends in the garden tomb. Hallelujah, the garden tomb. So remember that. So the stages are correct until the last one. Because see, in Israel, the one of the biggest Christian organizations is the Orthodox Church. And so they are the ones with the pompous hats and the relics and the statues and all that. So we'll get to see all that. But I'm here to let us know that that's not where Jesus was buried. And that's not where he died for us. We see it clearly in the garden tomb. There's another corridor there. It just keeps going and going and going. And let me just tell you, you're there and you're seeing things that you've never seen before. And you're just like, wow, look at this. And there's people there. They are friendly. They are friendly, especially those that live there in Jerusalem. And we have many friends. And so look at this one trek. You better have your tennies on. I hope you've been doing some walking, because we're going to be walking. And I know there's going to be some of you, but that's okay. We'll get through it. We'll get past it. Amen? God is good. And so we need to pick it up now at the eighth station. And the eighth station is where Simon of Cyrene helps Jesus carry the cross. Now, this is the only time in Scripture that this man is mentioned. But let me just say this. If you're mentioned in the Word of God, the heavens have declared, and your name is shouted throughout eternity through the heavens. And this man was significant. Why? Because Jesus was carrying the burden of your sins and my sins. And he came in a point of weakness where he had dropped the cross. And this man, Simon of Cyrene, helped carry the cross. Can I get an amen? So let's turn to Luke 23 and verse 26. And the Word of God says, "Now as they led him away, they had laid hold of a certain man named Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming from the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. And a great multitude of the people followed him, and a woman also mourned and lamented him." So saints, Simon of Cyrene might be considered a victim of circumstance, or was he there because of the providence of God? He was there because of the providence of God. And he had most likely had come to Jerusalem like many pilgrims. Did you know when we go to Israel, we're a pilgrim? That's what they call us. We're pilgrims coming through. We're passing through. And so during the festival days, there are seven feasts. The very first one is coming in about 2 weeks from now. It's the Feast of Passover, then the Feast of Unleavened Bread, then the Feast of First Fruits. Then you go 50 days later, then the Feast of Pentecost. And then we go into the fall, and it's the Feast of Trumpets. Woo! And then the Feast of Yom Kippur, and then the Feast of Tabernacles. Woo! Listen, when that final feast is complete, the Bible says that all of us, every one of us believers, will be tabernacling with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, I'm telling you, everything is in those feasts. And next week, I'll be teaching on the Feast of Passover. And we're going to see in a Hebraic study how it ties in to the resurrection of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And so, most likely, he was there for the Feast of Passover festivities and probably knew little about the proceedings at hand. He was there just to celebrate, and now he's watching this man carrying a cross and falling apart. And we know very little about Simon of Cyrene, since he's not mentioned in the Bible after that moment. But he was there to help Jesus carry the cross. Wow. Man, I wish that was me back then. I would have loved to help Jesus. Amen? When you wanted to help him, thank you, God. Now, let me just say this. Whatever you do for God, God will always remember everything that we do for Christ. And that's the only thing that will last. I think there's a song regarding what you do for Christ. That's the only thing that will last. Amen? Now, look what Psalm says here. Psalms 98:3. "He has remembered his mercy and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God." Come on. How many of you can realize and honestly say to yourselves that God has saved you? Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So the heavens have recorded this. You and I are written in the book of life, in the book of the Lamb. Hallelujah. In the Lamb's book of life. Thank you, Jesus. And it was by faith. It was by faith. And so we see in this photo here is this Cyrene, what was of He was black. The Bible says, it recalls that he was black. And so this man right here, man, just saw Jesus, man, and he had to come and help this man. Aren't you so blessed that this man chose to bless him and to help him? Despite of the Romans saying, "Hey, help this guy." No, he didn't have to. He didn't want to be numbered with one of them. But he wasn't ashamed. And the Bible says, if you're not ashamed of God, he will not be ashamed of you. Thank you, Lord. And so, even though he was ordered by the Roman soldiers, Simon did not resist, most likely fearing for his own life in the light of the situation at hand. Man, he was being beaten, scourged, and mocked, and spat upon. This is what I don't understand. Jesus did all the miracles. He raised the dead. He healed the blind and the mute and the dumb to speak. Those that were crippled, he gave them legs to walk. He raised Lazarus and the little girl from the dead. And yet here he is, had no sin in him, did no wrong. And yet they saw all of that and they still spat on him. And they wanted Barabbas instead of Jesus. My goodness. My goodness. Jesus, who carried his cross willingly, Simon of Cyrene, was compelled or forced to carry it. God had positioned him there that at that time, at that moment. Hallelujah. Let me just say this. As we go through trials and tribulations in our life, God will send that one person to you to help you. He will come, hallelujah, and you won't even know that person where he's coming from, but God will send that person. He'll even send an angel, hallelujah, to help you through the situation at hand. I'm here to let you know whatever you're going through right now, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. For he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And so one of the keys that this man, he wasn't ashamed, and you and I should never be ashamed of the things of the Lord, amen? Because we read right here in Timothy, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. This is Paul writing to Timothy, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. Let me just say this, as you go through things in life, the power of God will be with you. Can I get an amen? You are not alone in this journey. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And regardless if we did it to ourselves, and there's a lot of times we've done it to ourselves, God is still there to pull you out of the fire. Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed he pulled you out of the fire without being burned? Thank you, God. Look at this. According to the power of God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. There's nothing we can do to say, oh God, we deserve salvation. No, it's by his mercy. But according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before, look at this, before time began. Did you catch that? And so before we were even formed in our mother's womb, he already knew you. And he already knows what you're going through right now. And let me just say this, he cares for every moment of your life. Never think you're alone in the things of this world. Uh-uh. So we see that eighth station. Let's go to the ninth station now. Jesus meets the women of Jerusalem. Did you know that women are special to the Lord? I hope you know that. Remember when he was ministered to, the woman with the alabaster box? You know, according to our monetary system and the time we live in today, that alabaster box would have been worth at least $1,500 to $2,000. And she busted it wide open, and she poured it over Jesus' feet. And who were the ones that saw Jesus first when he rose from the dead? And who were the ones that came and helped oil him with myrrh? Was the women. There's something special that Jesus recalls in the Word of God about women. So let's look at this as we go a little further now down the Via Dolorosa road. And it starts right here in Luke 23:27. And it says, a great multitude of the people followed him, and women who also mourned and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, blessed are the barren wombs that never bore and breast which never nursed. He was saying, don't worry, I'm going to comfort you, because there are going to be those that are going to mock you, and God's going to do something supernatural for them. Can I get an amen? Amen? Oh, yes. Look at verse 30 right here. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in the green wood, what will be done in the dry? Saying, in other words, you women are going to go through trials and tribulations. You're going to be on the mountain. You're going to be in the valley. But God will never leave you nor forsake you. Hallelujah. And how many of you know right now some dear women in your life that are going through? Come on, there's people that are going through right now. Hallelujah. But God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Thank you, God. Aren't you so blessed to know that Jesus is with us? No matter what you are experiencing in life right now, he is with you. And for you single sisters that right now that are serving the Lord, that are worshiping God, and you desire one day to have a man of God, keep serving the Lord, keep your eyes on Jesus, and all of a sudden, that man that God will bring will love Jesus and love you like he loves Jesus. Can I get an amen? Amen. They're not out there in the world of Egypt. They're in, hallelujah, the household of faith. And God is preparing those guys just for you. Hold on. Hold on. Because he has women real close to his heart. And he knows the struggles. He knows during this time that they were secondhand, meaning men were the dominant figures of this time. In other words, the women had no say in their households. They had no say in the city. They had to keep silence. They were secondary. But to Jesus, they were close to his heart. Hallelujah. Saints, when Jesus encountered the weeping women and some of his disciples on his way to the crucifixion, he cautioned them that they should, don't weep for me. It's okay. You know why he said, don't weep for me? Because I'm going to be raised up just in a few days from now. Hallelujah. Yeah. Death, hell, and the grave couldn't hold Jesus down. Hallelujah. And let me just say this. God will not withhold his blessings for you. Can I get an amen? Because when Jesus rose again, man, the heavens opened up. Hallelujah. And the veil was torn. And you and I now can enter into his grace. And so even while suffering great pain and personal humiliation, Jesus' concern was not for himself, but for the lives and the souls of those who face danger of eternal damnation because of the sin in their lives. That's why he went to the cross. This is why he came. Did you know that he laid down his life? No one took it. He laid it down. Why? Because he saw 2,000 years later down the road that you and I, we needed a Savior. How many can honestly say we needed a Savior? I know I did. Hallelujah. I don't know about your story, but I know I did. Man, I was headed to hell in a handbasket. And God, hallelujah, because of his foreknowledge and his predestination and the election of God, he chose someone that was so unworthy of the call, and yet he still made that choice. I'm not worthy. We're not worthy. Can I get an amen? But he chose us. Hallelujah. And despite of ourselves, he is using you mightily in these last days and time. Thank you, God. Yes, he is. Never think that he's not using you. He is using you. He's using you as a voice of praise and a witness amongst the unbelieving world. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And so the same caution is relevant for Christians today, that we should be careful not to allow our concerns for this world to come before our devotion and obedience unto God. Knowing that we're saved now, let's walk, hallelujah, this road of obedience unto him. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And listen, before we got saved, we were so rebellious. Man, I like how Brother G said, man, we were all toe up from the flow up. We were. Come on. We were rebels without a cause. Oh, yes, and then God came. Man, aren't you so blessed that he interrupted your life? Thank you, God, for interrupting my life, because my life was filled up with destruction. Oh, but God, Look what John says here. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should be delivered to the Jews, but my kingdom is not from here. You got to remember, now we are seated in heavenly places. We are citizens of heaven now. Our names have been written in the book of life. God has deposited into us his seed. And what seed is that? The power of the Holy Spirit that has transformed. That is the guarantee. That is the deposit. You know, when you go buy an automobile, they want to see a deposit. Oh, yeah. Well, guess what? The deposit is the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. That's the evidence to you. That lets you know that he's coming back for redemption. In other words, that deposit, he's going to come back and redeem it. And when he comes and redeems it, we're going to have a body just like his. Man, I can't wait for that new body. Come on. I can't wait for that new body. You know, many of our loved ones, precious loved ones, have already went on to glory. And guess what? They're in their new bodies. Hallelujah. They're not the same anymore. As soon as they close their eyes here on earth, man, their eyes of faith opened up in heaven and saw Jesus face to face. Man, I'm telling you. Man, and there was probably many. Listen, when a loved one in Christ goes on to be with the Lord in heaven, man, there is a reunion that takes place. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Man, and I'll tell you, there's multitudes and multitudes of family trees down the family tree line that are there waiting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Waiting for you to come. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't that a blessing to know that God has prepared a place for us? So we're citizens of heaven. Our focus and attention should be there. Amen. Can I get an amen? All right. So now we're going to go from the ninth station. Now we're going to go to the tenth. Jesus is crucified. My goodness. He's crucified there on that cross. And you know, we've all seen movies like The Passion of the Christ. You know, we've seen The King of Kings. We've seen The Greatest Story Ever Told. There are so many movies regarding the crucifixion, but none of them really truly describe the true nature or the true visual of Jesus on the cross. You see, because every time you see him in a movie or anything like that, you know, he always has that little terry cloth down here. Isaiah says that he was naked before the world, and he was badly ripped and torn where you couldn't even tell his gender. He was mauled like hamburger meat. And everyone, according to Isaiah, everyone that looked at him had to turn because of he was so hideous looking. And yet, he did it for you. He did it for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when he comes back again, the evidence will be that his nail printed hands and his feet will still have the holes that were slammed into the cross. Hallelujah. And he's going to show our Jewish friends one day that I am the Messiah that you read about in the Old Testament. Hallelujah. He is the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And many of them are going to mourn. Many of them are going to repent right there. And some of them will still reject him. But man, God's going to come in the full power of his glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Are we there at Luke 23? Let's go there. Luke 23, 33. Look at this. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand, the other on the left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Aren't you so blessed? Aren't you so blessed? The heart of forgiveness right there was demonstrated on the cross. All of them, every one of them that mocked and spat on him, that scourged him, that lied about him, that ridiculed him, he still said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Man, what kind of love is that? Come on. Come on. I can imagine. If I was up there or you were up there, man, I curse you, but not curse you. Or if I had an army, I'm going to get my, I'm calling my back right now. Come on, back in the day, man, when we used to go nub it up, we used to always have, I got some back. And a lot of times we would see two, we had five, and we still go jump them. That was our nature, wasn't it? Jesus was up there on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they divided his garments and cast lots. They were ridiculing. They were making a mockery. That was probably the first Barona right there. Casting lots, gambling for his garment. My goodness. Look at verse 35 here. And the people stood looking on. But even the rulers with them sneered, saying, "Hey, he saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ, the chosen of God." Mocking. The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine. That sour wine, man, it was full of gall. We did a study on a Wednesday night, and you know what that gall was? It was the bile that's inside of a human, the bile, which is yellow and is so hideous smelling. And they mixed it with wine, and they put it up for him to drink because he was thirsty. My goodness. The soldiers mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the king of Jews, save yourself." Verse 38. And an inscription was also written over the letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. "This is the king of the Jews." And so they were saying, "This is your king." Total mockery. And yet, God, in his foreknowledge, hallelujah, sent his only begotten son to take that lonely road down Via Dolorosa for us. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." Look at this man's mind. Remember, there was two thieves on the cross. One on the right, one on the left. And that one just blurted it out because this guy had an evil heart. You know what comes to my mind right now when the Gospels talk about the four soils? And the last soil is the good soil. And when the good soil is found, that's where the seed of God goes in and it brings forth fruit. And God makes his seal with that good ground, the good ground. But look at this man. Look at this man just blaspheming God. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even," what? "Fear God?" Are we there? Yeah. Look at what it says. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you're under the same condemnation?" Wow. This man got a revelation on the cross. This man knew that within hours, he was going to perish. And so he had nothing else to cling to. He didn't want to cling to his own understanding. He saw the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. And there are going to be times when someone in our lives are going to be down to that last breath, and they're going to remember what you sowed into their heart by faith. They're going to remember, man, that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You got to remember, don't give up praying, hallelujah, for your loved ones. Because those ones that are on the other side of the cross, they're going to look at Jesus and go, "Oh, Jesus, have mercy. Have mercy." And God is there for that last breath that will repent. Can I get an amen? Oh, yes, he will. That's the kind of God we serve. That's the kind of God we serve. He's an awesome God. Can I get an amen? Now look what it says in verse 41. "And we indeed justly," now he's telling the other guy on the other side, "We deserve this punishment. We murdered, we killed, we robbed, we stole, we mangled, we raped. They did all kinds of evil iniquity." And he understood that he deserved to die. Listen, that's a picture of us. We all deserve to be just like that criminal on the cross. Every one of us. Look at this. He said, "For we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." And when he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, right here, hallelujah. Look, this right here, his next statement shatters all the doctrines around the Christian world. This is the mercy of God. Oh, you didn't get baptized. Well, you know what? You weren't coming long enough to church. You know what? That is all. Man, look what Jesus did for this man. Hallelujah. He cried out in mercy right here. Look what Jesus, surely I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Aren't you so blessed, man, that he didn't send you to a college and let me just see if you score high, and if you score high, I'll get you in. That's a lie from the pit. There's nothing we can do to earn this great salvation. It's but his mercy. And God had mercy on that man. He repented there on the cross. He was exalting the Lord. He did nothing wrong. My goodness. If that don't touch the heart of God, I don't know what will, but it did. It touched God on the cross to look at this man, exalting him on the cross. Now, it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness all over the earth in the ninth hour. Look at here in verse 45 here. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Aren't you so blessed? He gave up his spirit. He said, just take it now, Father. I've completed the job. I've done what you called me to do. And it was not my will, but thy will. Aren't you so blessed? Man, there's going to be a day and a time that will come. Now, let me just say this, saints. We don't know when Jesus is coming. Can I get an amen? We believe he's coming soon. But if we're right at death's door, and we're right there, I'm going to say, Lord, if this is my time, man, I give you my spirit. Take me home. Take me home. Jesus said, Father, I give you my spirit. And man, as soon as his spirit went up, he closed his eyes in that body of flesh. Having said this, he breathed his last breath. So when the centurion saw that what had happened, even this man glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. What made him say that? Because no one on that cross and all the crucifixions gave up their spirit. Father, take my spirit. I'm done. No, a lot of them, man, were hanging on to their last breath in excruciating pain and suffering, and they were screaming in torment. Not Jesus. Father, take my spirit. I'm ready. He closed his eyes. Man, that centurion who saw all those crucifixions marveled. Says this man has to be a righteous man because he didn't open his mouth one time and said, you guys are all doing a dastardly deed to me. You guys are all incriminating me for no reason. He didn't say that, did he? Mm-mm. You know why? Because he had you and me in mind 2,000 years later. Thank you, God. Saints, it is difficult over these 2,000 years after the fact to imagine the horror of the moment, and those closest to Jesus who were forced to helplessly stand as the spikes were driven through his hands and the spikes driven in through his. Listen, all the disciples, including his mother and all the women, they must have just freaked out. They must have just lost, some of them probably lost hope. Some of them ran away. I believe Peter ran. And yet God, and his mercy, hallelujah, planned it all out. Listen, mankind could not have come up with a plan like this. Because mankind, how many can honestly say I'd rather have a pampered life than a life of torment? Pick and choose. If you were to pick and choose, I want a life of torment. No, I want a life and pampered. I want an easy life. I want to live in peace and joy. Yeah. That's what our nature would gravitate to. But Jesus chose the opposite when the time came. to be tormented, to be mocked, to be ridiculed, to be beaten, and then to die. His loved ones and disciples did not yet fully understand the meaning of what was taking place at the time. They were not yet able to understand that this evil deed of men was the result of a divine purpose and planning for the salvation of all mankind. Thank you, God. And so there was purpose. There was purpose for the cross. And you and I could never forget that. Can I get an amen? Listen, Easter's coming around, and I call it Resurrection Sunday. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. It's not about Reese's peanut butter cups. It's not about the big bunny in the big basket. It's not about hiding an egg and see if you can find it that has $5 in it. No, it's about the resurrected Christ. Can I get an amen? Amen. It's about Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And so the Bible says right here in Hebrews, it says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? Hallelujah. We cannot neglect this. Wherever we go, we must proclaim the Lord. Can I get an amen? We must share. We must compel people to the cross. You need to come to the cross. Without the cross, you will perish. You will perish. The message should always be in the forefront. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Amen. If we forget to mention that you need to repent to come to the cross, then we lost it. Because John the Baptist, then Jesus, then the apostles. John the Baptist says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And then Peter, who was filled with the Holy Ghost, said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. If there's a divine order, it started, hallelujah, with John the Baptist. Then it went to Jesus and then his disciples and apostles. And guess where the baton has landed now? On you and me. Amen. Thank you, God. We need to take it further. Can I get an amen? We need to keep proclaiming God. Why? Because, I'm sorry, Buddha cannot help you. Confucius cannot help you. Allah cannot help you. None of those false doctrines and false philosophers that rose up. Because the Word of God says right up here in the book of Acts, it says salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by men must be saved. And what's his name?
Jesus.
Oh, come on. I just heard one guy, right?
Jesus.
Come on. What's his name?
Jesus.
One more time. Jesus. I hope our friends next door are listening. Jesus. Thank you, God. Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, man. Come on. Jesus. Hallelujah. Is he worthy to be praised? Hallelujah. Man, he has done so much for us. Hallelujah. We could never pay him back. We could never pay back a debt, hallelujah, that we owe to him. All we can do is fall on our face and say, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for this great salvation. Thank you, hallelujah, for delivering me. Thank you, God, hallelujah, that you set my feet on solid ground. Hallelujah. And I'm no longer headed toward the course of this world. Did you know the Bible says broad is the way to destruction and narrow is the road where people find? Hallelujah. And we're on that narrow road. Can I get amen? Because we believe, Lord, we're filled with the Holy Spirit. We're heaven bound and with the hell to shun. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. God is good. Amen. Is he worthy? He's worthy. Amen. So let's move on to the next station. That next station is the 11th station. Jesus promised his kingdom to the believing thief. We're going to look at this one more time, to the believing thief. Look at this. And Jesus said, assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me, where? In paradise. Saints, it is possible that the thief being crucified next to Jesus was able to grasp the concept that life was not ending for Jesus, but that he was transcending from this physical world into the eternal promise from which he had came to provide for all humanity. Aren't you so blessed? Hallelujah. Listen, for those of you that love your selfies and you're doing this. You better take a few more selfies because guess what? You're not going to look like that no more. Take them now. Take all, you know, this smile and this smile and woo, and we just throw this back right here. I got nothing to throw back no more. Thank you, God. Aren't you so blessed? Aren't you so blessed? We're not going to need those devices and stuff up there no more. Man, the glory of God is going to be upon us. Hallelujah. We're going to be seeing things that were not made with hands. But God, who has prepared a place for you and I. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. So the thief would become one of the first to enter paradise by grace through faith in Christ. He was the first one. He was the first one to enter in by grace. Oh, yes. Because God had mercy and grace on them, huh? This is why when we preach the word, we use many scriptures to back it up. And we use, Jesus said to him, "Surely I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So look, in Ephesians, by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. There's nothing we can say, man, look what I did for God, man. Oh, yeah, I came to Christ this day because I chose to come. No, he chose you. Right. He compelled you to come. Hallelujah. He interrupted your life. Hallelujah. Listen, when I came to Christ, I had $500 of crystal meth in my sock. Come on. If that wasn't God calling me, I don't know who was. I wasn't going there, but he called. He said, "Nuh-uh, you're coming now. This is your moment." And then guess what he did? He took away every desire for that, like this. Bam, gone. I didn't have to go through 12 steps. Hallelujah. And there's nothing wrong with 12 steps. But hallelujah, I only took one step. Hallelujah. And that was for the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? And then not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. We can't boast about that. Oh, yeah, man, look what I did that day. Yeah, man, I gave it all up. You gave it all up? No, he took it all away. He took it all away. He's the one that delivered. Can I get an amen? He delivered us. Thank you, God. Jesus told the thief that he would be in paradise that day with him because he accepted and believed in the Son of God. Can I get an amen? Clearly, saints, this is an example that a person is saved by grace through faith. Hallelujah. Not by works. At those who persecuted and condemned Jesus, who would have the people believe. Now, once again, in the midst of mockery, the Bible says where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. Can I get an amen? Right there, at the point of death, he turned and had grace. Thank you, God. It was all for us. It was all for you. Can I get amen? So let's move on to station number 12. Jesus on the cross, he speaks with his mother and his disciples. And so this is what I love about Jesus. Here he is, going to take his last few breaths, and he was still mindful of his family. He still was considerate of his mother, his disciples. Hallelujah. And this is why we're here today, to celebrate his life. Why? Because he was mindful of you. On that cross, if you just close your eyes right now and picture him on the cross and picture him speaking your name, "I'm dying for you. I'm dying for you. I'm dying for you." And that's what he did. You have to make this personal. Because he made it personal to that thief. And he made it personal also and made it his point to bless his family and to be mindful. Because he was only going to be gone just 3 days. He went on a 3-day trip. Can I get an amen? Let's look at this. In John 19, When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Now, just imagine if that was your son up there and he says, "Behold your son." What do you think she thought was thinking at that time? She was probably just as confused as anybody else be, but other than, "Not my will, but thy will be done." She had to trust God at that moment, because he said on the third day he would rise again. And the one that will probably believe him the most would probably be his own mother. You could share a whole lot of secrets to people and tell people, but it's your mom and dad who will believe you, because they know you. They know you. They knew you since birth. And so, behold, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." Now, I know this one verse was taken out of context, and they made a doctrine out of it. Let me just say this. Mary needed salvation too. Can I get an amen? She was in the upper room with 120 waiting for the Holy Ghost to come. So all he said, "Behold," now guess what? She's going to be a mother to you disciples. Glean off her wisdom. Glean off her loving care, because she cared for me. She's going to care for you too while she's here on earth. That's all that meant. It didn't mean that we were going to put her on a pedestal and worship her. Can I get an amen? Or Jesus would have said, "Worship her now." Is that there? No. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Saints, Jesus in his dying moment was still putting the needs of others before his own, as he selflessly committed to the care of his mother, to his beloved disciple, John. His entire life included his death, taught by example that we are to put the needs of others before our own, subjecting everything to the perfect will of God. Are you learning to die to self, saints? Are you learning to serve others? Are you learning to give away? You know the Bible says, when you learn to give away your life, that's when you find your life. But when you hold on to your life, that's when there's no reward in that. I'd rather give away my life, hallelujah, to find my life. And for me, saints, 28 years ago, when God saved me from a hideous lifestyle, he has shown me a better way. And I cling on to his road now. I'm learning to die to self. And let me tell you, in the body of flesh, it's difficult. It's not easy. But when you have a made-up mind, hallelujah, when your mind is bent toward him, and you could remember all the things that he's done for us, that he's done for you, how he delivered you, how he pulled you from the snare of death. Man, I'm going to cling on to him now. I'm going to say, "Jesus, thank you, God, for you're the only one that could do this for any man or woman and child. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah." And so the willingness to abide by his word and demonstrate with actions by faithfully sacrificing for others in the face of adversity, saints, are the defining characteristics of a true Christian. That's what defines you and I. When we learn to die to self, when we learn to serve others, when we learn to go and pray for others, those who are in need, those who really need a loving touch, that we would go, we would pray, lay hands, go minister, go raise up, go exhort. Can I get an amen? Amen. Moving on to the 13th station. He dies on the cross. And so there in Luke 23:44, it says, "Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened and the veil of the temple was torn in two." Isn't that a blessing? Because the high priests were the only ones to go behind the veil. And did you know if some of them was walking in iniquity, guess what would happen? They would tie a rope to his ankle. And as he went behind the veil and there was sin in his life, he would drop dead and they would pull him from underneath the veil. My goodness. And when you start learning the depths of that, that's why no flesh shall glory in his sight. We can't boast about this. We can't boast, look what I've done. This is why we humbly come to the throne room of grace. Can I get an amen? Knowing what he's done for us. Knowing, hallelujah, it was the blood that washed away our sins. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. So it was in the sixth hour, darkened, the veil, temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into my hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last breath. Thank you, God. So the moment of Jesus' death, the curtain in the temple which separated men from the Holy of Holies tore from the top to the bottom. You know how high that was? That was at least 10 feet tall. And that veil was at least 4 to 5 inches thick. So they didn't have no scissors. They didn't have no saw to rip that from the top to the bottom. That was God's mighty hand that tore it. Hallelujah. And why did he tear it? So that you and I now can enter in to the grace of God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. This was terrifying for all the Jews who witnessed the event. And they did not realize it signified the end of the old covenant and the beginning of the new covenant. God was doing something brand new right before them. Hallelujah. The Gentiles didn't have a clue. The Jews didn't have a clue. But God knew what he was doing. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. It's even mentioned in the book of Mark right here. And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and breathed his last. Then the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. That must have been a sight to see. That must have been a sight to see. I can't wait till we get to the Temple Mount. We're going to see so many facets that we read in the Word of God and how alive. I can't wait till we go to the upper room. There's a place they call the upper room. And 2,000 years ago, the Holy Ghost came in there and filled all 120 disciples with the Holy Ghost. Wow. Isn't that a blessing? Saints, no longer would man have to suffer separation from God because of sin anymore. But we now are able to approach the throne room of grace boldly in prayer. Why? Through the forgiveness of sins. This is why I love the book of Hebrews. Do a study in the book of Hebrews, and you're going to find God's grace throughout the book of Hebrews. Now, many scholars believe it was Paul, but there's no authenticity that he did write the book of Hebrews. But no one can either point anybody else to write the book. But it's there because God chose the book of Hebrews to be there. Look at what it says here. Seeing that we have a great what? High priest who has passed through the heavens. So when he was ascending up, hallelujah, right there where he told his disciples, I go away now and I go to be on the right side of my Father in heaven. The Bible says right here, as he passed through the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. This is our confession now, hallelujah, to a dying world. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus couldn't have come to this cross if he had sinned. He was the sinless Savior. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Look at this. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may what? Obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Thank you, God. Aren't you so blessed? Aren't you so blessed to know that he came for you? He came for me? And now we can humbly go before the throne room of grace. The life and sacrificial death of Jesus had removed the barrier of sin, making it possible for man to obtain this great and awesome salvation. How many are so blessed to be saved? Come on. Come on. Come on. Give God praise and glory right now. Come on. Give him praise and glory. Hallelujah. He's so worthy to be praised, saints. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And so we come to the last station here. Jesus is laid in the tomb. You know, this has a very significance to my heart, this portion. And before God launched me out to do ministry, I remember the very first sermon that God gave me when Pastor Leo asked me to preach for the very first time on a Wednesday night at the United Methodist Church across the street from Sayals. You know, on Highway 8, there's a big United Methodist Church. We used to use that facility for Wednesday nights. And I'll never forget, I said, God, what do you want me to teach and preach? And I remember Brother G was holding a home fellowship in Spring Valley. He asked me to come and teach. And as I was preparing for that Wednesday night, I used that same message. It was called, Take Ye Away the Stone. And I really believe that was the message that God used me to continue on preaching his word. But we come to this place where they laid him. He had died. And you know what I love about God? Hallelujah. Is that he didn't remain in the tomb. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. See, in the book of John chapter 11, before Jesus even came to the cross, he raised up a man called Lazarus. And if he raised up Lazarus, don't you think he could have raised himself up? He was God Almighty. He was God Almighty. So let's look what it says in Luke 23:50. Now behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good and just man. And he had not consented to their decision indeed. He was from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God. So this was a believer. He understood. He understood that when Jesus said, on the third day I will rise again. And this is why he had come to ask for the body, because God had ordained this. Let's look at this next verse here. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of rock where no one had ever lain before. That day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew close. Next week, don't miss next week, because all this ties in with a Passover feast. This was God's day timing notebook that he had before the foundation of the world had already ordained that Jesus would die on Passover. Man, the significance to that. Listen, when our Jewish friends, they're going to be celebrating Passover on Saturday. And then the next day, this is the first time that I could think of where Passover's on Saturday and then the resurrection day is on Sunday, Easter Sunday. It's never been that close before. And so as they are celebrating Passover, we'll be preaching on the resurrection. But here's the thing. Everything that they eat on their table as a remembrance, it's all about Jesus. And one of the things, you know that matzah bread that they eat? Notice it doesn't have any leaven in it. It's like when we take communion. It's just flour, basically. There's no yeast to it. Well, I heard a teaching that when you look at the matzah bread, he was broken, he was bruised. And you notice that the matzah bread has these brown, kind of like burn marks on them. That was the bruising and the beating that he took for us. When you start tying in everything that they're doing on Passover, Jesus, it's all about Jesus. And they have no clue yet. They do it religiously. They have no concept of the Messiah. And so I can't wait till we teach on this. Why? Because we're going to tie it in so that your faith can go from faith to faith and glory to glory, and that you would see the underlying significance to the Passover next week. Hallelujah. So the preparation drew near. It drew near. Saints, after Jesus died and was taken down from the cross, he was laid to rest in a tomb provided by a man named Joseph from the Jewish town of Arimathea. Joseph happened to also be the member of Sanhedrin, but was opposed to the trial and the crucifixion of Jesus. He knew that they were doing this to a man that was so unjustly accused. Joseph secretly believed that Jesus was the Messiah according to the scripture, but he feared the consequence of acknowledging his belief publicly, and that's what people did back then. But we read in John right here, after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, see, he was a disciple, Bible declared, he followed Christ, and yet he was part of the Sanhedrin. God was giving him revelation knowledge of who he was. But secretly, for the fear of Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. So he came and he took the body of Jesus. And after Jesus died, Joseph went to Pilate secretly and he laid him in a tomb. And guess what? You and I are going to see that same tomb. Oh, yes. Many theologians believe it's not the Church of the Sepulchre, but it's there in the garden tomb. Right there. And guess what? We'll be able to step in it. And we're going to look to the left, to the right, and there's going to be a sign behind the door. It says, Jesus has risen. Hallelujah. Jesus has risen. He rose again. How many believe he rose again? Come on. Come on. He rose again. Thank you, God. Here's another picture of it. And so they have that, you see those, like that little gate inside? They have it kind of gated off. You can look through it, but they have it gated off if they don't want you to go in there and desecrate it with your feet, your hands. They just want to keep it preserved. But many believe that that's where the tomb he was laid in. And that is Golgotha. Remember last week we read in scripture about the skull? That's what Golgotha means. That means the skull on the stone. And Jesus on top of this hill was crucified with the other two. Right there. It wasn't at the Church of the Sepulchre. When you go to the Church of the Sepulchre, you're going to look in there and you're going to just want to get out now. It's all religious in there. You know, it's got all these statues and all these, you know. No, this is where he was crucified, on Golgotha. On Golgotha. And we're going to take that journey. We're going to walk. And we're going to get to this place. And for some of you, that's going to be your first time. You're going to go, my gosh. God's going to speak to you there. Everywhere we go, God's going to speak to you. He's going to show you more of himself to you. The scriptures are going to come alive. And you're going to know. You're going to know that the Bible is true. And there's only one book that has life. There's only one book that has truth. There's only one book that talks about a real hell and a real heaven. And it talks about there's only one Messiah. And his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. So saints, sin carries its own inescapable penalty. That penalty is death. Our Creator is just and fair and so demanded that the penalty of sin. And because God is loving and merciful as well as just, he sent his only begotten Son to pay for the penalty of sin. Can I get an amen? He says it right up here. There's another face right there. That, if that don't look like a skull face, then I don't know what we're looking at. That's Golgotha's hill. Thank you, God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. This is why he went to the cross. This is what he did for you and I. Hallelujah. And in 2 weeks, around the world, believers around the world are going to be celebrating the death, burial, resurrection of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And we need to be reminded what he's done for us. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. How many believe we serve a mighty God? And so God's love and mercy are greatly demonstrated by the words of Jesus as he hung dying on that cross, saints. The sinful man who refuses to accept the gift of salvation that Jesus made possibly by his sacrifice is surely the product of rebellious and ignorance, and that sin separates a man from the wisdom of God. And so we're going to close in this. I need us to get a hold of this, because this is what John wrote down. And so this is what people don't understand. And if you ever asked the question, well, why does God allow war? And why does God allow people to die? And what kind of God do you serve that allows this and that? God answers this right up here. So you have to use the word of God. Can I get an amen? Use the word of God. And the word of God says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. He didn't come here. He's the lifeline. Jesus sent the lifeline. Picture this. Let's just say you're on a boat fishing down in Mexico with all your friends. And then a storm came. And all of a sudden it wasn't on the radar. And now the boat is rocking back and forth. And then it tips over. And now you and all your friends are in the water. And here come the sharks. And one by one, you're watching your friend getting eaten up. And it's a bloody mess. And all the sharks are eating everyone. And now you're the last one there. And the reason why the sharks haven't eaten you, because their bellies are full. But they're just swimming around you because they'll get past what they ate and they'll come after you. Then here comes a boat. Here comes a boat. And then they throw a lifeline. Grab it. Now let me ask you this question. If that was you, the last survivor, would you grab the ring or would you allow to be consumed by the sharks? Does it take a rocket scientist to figure that one out? You're going to grab on to the lifeline, aren't you? That's who Jesus is. He's our lifeline. Look. It says, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be what? Saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. We come into this world already with a verdict. We're already condemned. This is why we need a Savior. Look at this. Because he has not believed in the name of the only what? Begotten Son of God. Now, if you really share this with unbelievers, God will open up their understanding, because you can't. But the word of God is powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. Amen? Look at this. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. So this, it's our nature to murder. It's our nature to steal. It's our nature to do wrong. We do it automatically. So God says that the heart of mankind is dark. And they would rather do the things contrary to God's word. So Jesus, despite of ourselves, came to save us. He came to save us. Look at this. Rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light. How many of you know that you've shared and shared? Yeah, man, I'm glad you needed God. And they're just chucking it down. I'm glad you found God. You needed God. Did you know that? Oh, you never got that story? I got that so many times. For everyone practicing evil hates the light. So when you come and bring the light, they're like, oh man, here they come again. Come on, close the curtain. Muzzle the dog. Don't answer the door. We're not here. Why? Because they don't like the light. And we bring the light. We bring the gospel. We're filled with the Holy Ghost. And the light lives in us. Lest his deeds, well, look, everyone hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. My goodness. Look at that. But who does, look at this, but he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. See, this is why we can boldly proclaim God's goodness and his grace and his mercy. So when we share the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God with others, all we're doing is bringing the light. And whether it shines on their dark heart or not, it doesn't matter. You've done your job. You planted the seed. Because the Bible's clear. Paul planted and he watered, but only God can give the increase. Only he can give the increase. So when you do your job, praise God. God, I did it your way. I served you, God. So when we see him face to face, what you want to hear from Jesus? Well done, my good and faithful servant. Come into the joy of the Lord. I want to hear that. How many want to hear that? Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, guess what? By the grace of God, we will hear that. Hallelujah. He's already promised it to us. Hallelujah. Just hang on. I don't care what you're going through right now. Hallelujah. You know what? Your flesh wants to give up. Flesh wants to give up. Flesh is, oh man, I don't see anything happening for me. That's because your eyes are not on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes focused. Look what he had to tell those on the cross. And a lot of them lost faith right there. Jesus had to come and fill them with the power of God. Hallelujah, like he promised.
If you're listening right now on the internet, and maybe you just were surfing the net, you came across Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, and you're hearing this message right now, and you may not even know who Jesus is, I'm going to ask you right now to pray with me that God will show himself mighty to you. He will come and visit you right now by faith. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I do believe that you died for me. I believe, God, that the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. And on the third day, you rose again to give me life and life more abundantly. Lord Jesus, forgive me now, God, of all my sins. Come into my heart and make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I'll do my best to serve you, Lord, all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed this prayer by faith, God, through the authority of his word, has saved you. I pray that you would find a Bible-believing church and that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of our sermons, all of our notes, all of our PowerPoints are free at charge. Just download them from your computer and be blessed.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.